All right, so welcome. We are live at the moment, so hopefully everybody is logged on. It's going to be a little bit higgledy-piggledy this morning because we have a baptism, and that's pretty exciting. So I trust that at home you've enjoyed your time of worship and some prayer and so on. There are a few of us here at the church, maybe 15, 20 people, which is pretty exciting. Yeah, I want to say, you know, it's wonderful. You know, we often say bad things about technology, and so in this particular case, I think it's a good thing. So we are live, and so what I'm going to do is this morning, Daryl Hansen is going to be baptizing Gracie, and Jacob has the camera right now, and so he's going to be focusing on the baptismal pool, and they're going to go ahead with the baptism, and then we're going to have about a minute or two where we have to take the camera back down and adjust, and at that time you can grab yourself a cup of coffee, do whatever you need to do, but there will be a few moments where the camera is going to give you vertigo if you keep looking at the screen. Okay, so but we're going to have that baptism right now, so we can all enjoy that together. Okay, all right, Daryl, it's up to you, buddy.
Well, good morning, everybody. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? I just want to say that I'm happy for Gracie. I'm that she's taken this important decision. Gracie, do you have anything you would like to say?
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is good.
Okay. I'll ask you a few questions. Have you accepted Jesus into your heart?
Yes.
You believe Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
And you believe he died and rose again?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, based on your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks again for coming. Wonderful to see so many people here. And, you know, we're going to continue the way that we are as much as possible. The good thing is that God doesn't change. Things change, but, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can certainly rely on Him. So, just a few announcements. There are some life groups that will meet in different ways. And so for some people, they will still meet in homes, maybe two or three people staying far apart from each other. Maybe you can be creative and go meet in a park somewhere and maintain your recommended distance. There are one or two life groups, especially thinking of Stan and Gloria, that Stan and Gloria have two people in their home that are over 90 years old, and so for them it's important to maintain some sort of distance and so on as far as gyms are concerned. So they're going to be getting together via Zoom, which is a product like Skype. And so You have these little squares, and we meet once a month with pastors across Canada like that. And it's pretty cool because what happens is then when somebody speaks, it lights up on their name and you know it's them that's speaking and catches your attention straight away. And so you can actually meet in creative ways. All right. So just, that's as far as the life groups are concerned. As far as the prayer is concerned this week, we won't be meeting here, obviously, to pray. But, what will happen is that the topic or the subject for prayer this week, we'll put on the Facebook page, and we'll also let the life group leaders know. And there are some people that aren't on Facebook and don't have email. There are about four people in the church, and we'll try to get it to them as well, and try and include everybody, as many people as possible, to be part of that. All right. So is that thing working?
Yeah, just keep talking.
All right. Okay, so we're just trying to make sure that this thing is set up correctly. And it was working in the week, but you know what it's like. You go to a business presentation, and the guy's prepared and everything else, and he puts his laptop on, and then it doesn't connect to the projector and so on. And these are the things that sometimes go wrong. All right. So are we actually streaming now?
Yes, we're live.
Okay. All right. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are in control. We thank you, Lord God, that no matter our circumstances, that you are on the throne. And Lord, this morning we come and we want to hear your word for us, Lord, in this season. We want to hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, I pray that as I share this morning, I pray, Lord God, that what the Holy Spirit says would find purchase in hearts this morning. Lord, that we would understand who you are, what your plans are for us, how much you love us, and that you have a hope and a future for us. And Lord, we thank you that that you are here with us, no matter where we are, that where we are gathered, you are with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wanted to just step away from our series on fruitfulness right now, but this is something that's going to help us to be fruitful. And I think that right now it's a strong word for where we are, and it's a strong word for the future. And so I'm trusting that you hear the questions as challenges, not as accusations. I think that's very important. I'm going to be asking you a few questions. And so hear them as questions, hear them as genuine concerns, as things that are there to encourage you. I was just speaking to somebody this week, and I think I might have mentioned it in my last video, is that as leaders, we are there to encourage and to build up and to blow wind in your sails. And sometimes it means me saying, Jacob, you can do better. And not to see that as an accusation, but to see it as an encouragement. And so those things are important. And so I want to ask the question here is that, you don't need to raise your hands, but it would be interesting to know how many people have actually read the Bible from cover to cover. And so that would be interesting because some of us haven't. And so it's not an accusation. It's an observation to saying that the very manual by which we live our lives surely is important for us. As you know, I'm a volunteer firefighter, and we have a manual that is, seriously, it's that thick. And I'm part of the training team, and so every week we train some of the newer guys to get their 1001, which is the basic firefighting qualification. And that week I have to read that chapter so that I'm ready to either give a lecture or to help them with the training or to help them with the testing. And so it's a thick chapter I've got to read, and I've got to do it. And so I'm saying that if I approach life like that and I say, man, I've got some challenges in life. How do I overcome this? Well, let me read a chapter of the manual and say, God, won't you speak to me through this book that you've given me, the living word, and so that I know exactly what to do. And so there are many voices around, including Christian voices. You can buy a book from a bookstore. You can buy it online, a Christian book. And what is the guarantee that it's true? Well, just because the guy's a Christian doesn't mean that it's true. And so we all have opinions. I've seen some books in the Christian section of some bookshops that are certainly on Christian books. And so we need to, where do we go for the truth? You know, we kind of look at those things. How do we know? Just because somebody has planted a church and it's grown to 20,000 people and they write a book, that doesn't mean that book is truth. The Word of God is truth. And so I want to, that's the angle I'm coming at today. Where do we go for the truth? Who has the final say in the things that we decide? You see, with modern media around, it's pretty easy not to get into the Word. We can watch little 1 minute and 30. We don't need to go to church anymore. And we're convinced by that rather than reading the book of Acts. And I've seen that person. And so we go back to the Word of God, not even those things. When we're faced with a moral dilemma, how do we act? When we are faced with challenges as far as church leadership is concerned, Sunday school, religious practices, etc., how do we discern the truth? Where do we go? When everything is shaken, where is the anchor? What is the anchor in our lives when everything gets shaken and will be shaken? And I want to encourage you this morning is that we go to the Word of God. Now, many of us are going to say, well, we need to hear what the Holy Spirit says. Hold on to that thought. I'm going to come back to that. All right. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, Jesus said, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, something of that just resonates with where we are right now, with so many people that are anxious and fearful, is that how is your house doing as these rains and storms and the waters rise against it? Is it solid? Are you full of fear? Obviously, we need to be wise. Obviously, we need to make good decisions. But fear is not from God. Anxiety is not from God. He gives us peace that transcends all understanding. And so, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. And Jesus says, he hears these words of mine, and then he says, and puts them into practice. He says, it's not just the hearing, but it's the hearing and the doing as well. It's the hearing the Word of God and exercising that. We may say that we are Word-based, but we need to allow that knowledge to drop those 6 inches from our head to our heart so that it becomes part of who we are. See, the Word is like bread that is eaten. So we take the Word, we decide to take a bite, and we eat it. And then we chew it, and then we swallow it, and then our stomach digests it, and it becomes part of who we are. And if we eat too much of it, it becomes a big part of who we are. Right? Eat lots of bread, we become big. And so it starts to manifest itself in our bodies. We have a certain amount of energy, we have a certain size, and so on and so forth, the food that we eat. And so it is with the Word of God as well, is that we take a bite of the Word of God, and we chew it, and we swallow it, and we digest it, and we say, Lord, let this Word not only be something that I've read, but let it be something that becomes part of who I am, that it changes me. It needs to be the authority in our lives. So the question is, in your life, what is the greatest authority, or who is the greatest authority? It's a good question. So what is your default setting? What is the first response when something happens? Is it the Word of God? And so here's another question. It's not an accusation, it's a question. It's where we measure ourselves against the question and say, God, what are you saying to me? The question is, when last did we, you and I, actually open our Bible and read it? Whether that be on an app, that's still valid, okay? Older people, traditionalists, having your Bible on your phone is okay. I know it's not the paper and everything else, but it's still the Bible. And so, what about that? What about opening the Bible? So the question is, when last did you do it? I'm not asking for answers. I'm saying you answer that for yourself. And it's a good question to ask because it's challenging. Some of us might feel a little bit guilty, but don't let it be guilt. Let it be conviction. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us and say, you know what, actually, that's a good point. Maybe we should take it to heart. Often we believe and we say that the Word of God is the authority in our lives. But I want to say, is pleasing our Heavenly Father in heaven our first response? Is seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, is that more important than anything else? Is that really where we go first as far as decisions are concerned? If you're offered a job in another town at double the salary, what do? Sign me up, off I go. Or do we say, God, is this you or is this not you? That really discerns. And it could be God, could not be. But our first response is that which indicates, have I eaten the Word of God and has it really become part of my life? If God's Word is the authority in our lives, we need to submit to that authority. And I want to suggest that we speak to the author, is that we become his friend. We start to hear his voice. We hear what he says and how he speaks. We need to have the Word of God burned on our hearts where it's almost like a tattoo. And we say, if when we look at that person's heart, what do I see? I see that they have a relationship with their Father in heaven. And the reason for it is that because we saw right in the beginning, Jesus says that if you take these words and you act on them and you implement on them and you obey them in your life, you're going to be on the rock. No matter what comes, you will be safe. I'm going to look at two things that the Word does in our lives. The first one is the Word guides us into truth. The Word guides us into truth. Psalm 119 verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I've chosen truth. Set my heart on your laws. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That was Jesus praying. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's not that when we read the Word of God, we become sanctified. It's when we read the Word of God, we take it to heart. It becomes who we are. It starts to become the way we live our lives. That is when we become sanctified. We become holy when we are like Jesus. There's nothing else on the planet that contains the truth of life except for the Word of God. There's many other books written. There's many other clever sayings. There's many other wise people that have said many things. But the Word of God is where it ends. There's complete truth from beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation. First, it represents truth in our personal lives. What happened to my water? First, it represents truth in our personal lives. When I'm faced with a decision to cheat on my taxes, when I invoice incorrectly, or I don't invoice at all because then I don't need to pay on that or whatever it is. All these things that, it's amazing how when it comes to finances, there seems to come a compromise. When it comes to finances, we kind of find little shortcuts everywhere else because that really affects our lives. And I want to tell a lie, whatever it is, when the Word of God has become part of the inner fiber of who I am, the Holy Spirit will point me to truth in that situation. And it will change the way that I act. Not because I'm obeying a law, but because I have changed. It's the difference, eh? Between those two. The Word of God will help us in every decision we need to make. It will guide us into truth. It leads us to life. But that which is not truth leads to death and destruction. We know that as well. Second of all, it represents truth overall. It will distinguish between that which is of God and that which is of Satan. So the question is, should we put people living in sin into leadership? No, we shouldn't. Why shouldn't we? Well, if we knew the Word of God, we'd know why, because there's there's certain guidelines in the Word of God. It says these are the qualifications for leadership. And if we read the Word, we'd know that. It would be part of who we are, and it would make our decisions a whole lot easier. We wouldn't be driven by it. Well, I feel sorry for that person. They've served so faithfully for so many years, they deserve to be a leader. So no, actually the Word of God, which I've eaten, which I've digested, which has become part of me, which directs my actions, says, actually no, let's deal with these character things first. Pornography is evil. Is it real? Does the Bible say so? Well, it actually does, but do we know when? Or is it just an innate sort of thing? See, if we take the Word of God and we eat it, we swallow it, we digest it, becomes part of who we are, we understand, we say, sure it is. Let's have a look. It confirms that which the Holy Spirit is telling us. What about praying to Mary? I'm touching on some senses. Maybe you've got Catholic friends or family. Maybe there's people watching this that are from a Catholic background. But the reality is that the Word of God clearly tells us we worship no one but God in heaven. Easy as that. It's not hard. But if we have a Bible at home and it has a layer of dust on it and we never look at that, we kind of say, well, you know, at least they're still trying to do the right thing, you know. That. So no. Actually, the Word of God has become part of who I am. This is the plumb line of truth, and I'm going to live by that truth without compromise. People say the Bible has become irrelevant because it's so old. No, the Bible is truth, and the truth never becomes irrelevant. The truth remains. When all else falls, the truth remains. The words of Jesus remain the rock that stands in the storm, and when we place ourselves on that rock, then we too will stand, no matter what the storm is. See, I believe that many people are caught up in religion. They're without a relationship with Jesus. And I want to say that when we take the Word of God and we digest the Word, we have a relationship with Jesus, we are led by the Holy Spirit, then we will know the truth. There are many loud voices in the world today that have openly denied the deity of Jesus, which is contrary to what Scripture tells us, leading many astray. And I believe that we don't only have the Word of God in our minds, but we have it imprinted in our hearts as well, that it directs the way that we act. The second point I wanted to make is that it helps us discern the voice of God in our lives. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path, to discern the voice of God in our lives. One of the great privileges of being born again, of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is that we can have a personal relationship with God and we can hear Him speak to us individually. That's one of the great advantages. And so I want to say that one of the ways, and the biggest way, that God speaks to us is through His Word. And if you believe that you've heard God on a particular issue, is what you have heard backed up by Scripture? And if not, is it contrary to Scripture? If it's opposed to Scripture, then you haven't heard God. You've had too much pizza late at night. And you think you've heard God, but it's not God you've heard. You've heard yourself and your own desires if it violates the Word of God. Or we've heard the enemy. If it's not found in Scripture, God puts us in community to help us along to make those decisions as well. There are things that are not in the Bible as far as decisions are concerned. The example I used a little bit earlier, you have a job offer in another town. God has placed you in a community where He has a hope and a future for you. Are you going to move there or not? Well, it's kind of hard because we can't go to a scripture and verse around that. And we say, well, what does the Word of God say? Well, the Word of God says that we kind of plugged in, that we're part of something, that God has put us here to seek and save the lost, that we love Jesus and we love others and we want to tell them about it. Is that where God wants me for the next season? Is this going to be helpful for my family? Is it and we have a lot of questions. And then we say, well, I still don't know. So, well, then we have friends and family. Then we have life groups. Then we have leaders. We have people who understand putting the kingdom first and his righteousness together with us. They can pray with us and say, I don't know. And then I say, Sarah, Matt, and Yvonne, won't you guys please pray with me? I don't know what to do. It looks really good, you know, but there's a few things I'm a little bit unsure about. Won't you guys pray with me over the next week and let's get together, fast if we have to, and hear what God has to say. And then we have counsel in the wise with those people who I know are walking with God. But again, it comes back to what does the Word of God say? Many people will say, God told me this or God told me that. And it's like some cosmic experience. It's like, the Lord said to me this. That may be true. It may very well be true. But my question is always that, how did God tell you? How did God confirm His word to you? Sometimes people will come and they'll say, God told me to go this direction. And as I'm sitting there in my office, I'm thinking, man, I'm not entirely comfortable with that. I don't know. I pray for this person regularly. I lead them. I'm a pastor in the church here. I love them. I want to see the best for them. And that decision that they're speaking about right now, I'm not 100% sure about, but it seems like they've made it already. And they say God told them. Then I'll say, well, how did God tell you? Did he confirm it in his word? Did you speak to somebody else? No, I just had the sense in my heart. I say, well, I want to say, man, it's when it comes to important decisions, let it be more than just a sense in our heart. Very often the sense in our heart is the result of an offense. It's the result of something else that has suddenly pushed us in a certain direction. And if it does not line up with the word of God, then it's not God. Then it's us or the devil. Remember, the Holy Spirit can and he will guide us. And that's where it becomes tricky. You say, was the Holy Spirit guiding me or was it just myself? Was it me making a decision? Or did the Holy Spirit remind me of something that I read in his word? It's like writing an exam at school. Is that the Holy Spirit can enlighten you about things that you never thought about before. But if you and I go and we go and sit in that exam room and we pull out that piece of paper and you say, Holy Spirit, give me the answers, please. He's going to say, Brian, you're an idiot. You should have studied the work and not just sit here relying on me. And I think it's something similar. I think very often the Holy Spirit will remind us of truth that we've read in the Word so that we can be sure that this is God speaking. There are times that the Holy Spirit will guide us where we haven't read it in the Word of God, where the Word of God is not clear. And that's, don't hear what I'm not saying. Hear what I am saying. I am saying that if we read the Word of God, we'll be in a situation and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will remind us about that scripture and about this scripture. And all of a sudden we know we're hearing God on this. Okay. Those principles, those ways of God, are they embedded in my heart? There are many voices out there. There are sports people, politicians. There are pastors. There are hormones. And they all seem to speak quite loudly. But I want to encourage you to come back to listen to the voice of God. And when we read the Word, be careful not to take scriptures out of context. Sometimes we can do that as well. We can prove just about anything from scripture if we take it out of context. We take it out there, we take one little verse, we say, this is what the Bible says. That is true, but it's in a context. Every quote or every phrase is in a verse, which is in a chapter, which is in a book, which is one of the 66 books. So let's take an example of that. Philippians 4 verse 19. It says, and God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Most of us know that scripture. Most of us have perhaps quoted that scripture. Let me read it again, just in case you didn't hear it. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What is the context of that scripture? The context of that scripture pertains to giving.
But more specifically, it pertains to apostolic giving. The context in that scripture is that they were giving towards the apostolic or the mission work that was required. And when they did that, God said, "And I will meet all your needs." That is the context. And so often we take a scripture that we have quoted many times and we say, well, here's the scripture. This is what it says. And we can say God's principles apply throughout. That is true. But let us not manipulate scriptures to say, well, you know, God's going to meet all your needs. So, well, actually, God has a requirement of us. Actually, there are times that God says, if you do this, then I will do that. God hasn't changed. He said, I put before you life and death. Now, please choose life. And he's done that from the beginning, and he does it today as well. We cannot claim scriptures just because we like them. We've got to see it in the truth. It's a lamp. It's our safeguard. The Word of God is the lamp to us, and it's the truth. So what does our response need to be? Number one, allow our hearts to be captured again by Jesus and His Word. Our hearts captured by Jesus and His Word. Some of us are sitting thinking, man, I've read parts of the Bible and it was pretty boring. I'm not seriously motivated to do that. I want to say that the Word of God is truth. It's full of life. It's full of life. Sometimes scriptures that we say, well, how is this relevant to me? Well, if we take a huge step back, we see the bigger picture of God. I want to give some advice on that. If you're reading through a particularly dry piece of scripture, say you're reading through the Old Testament law, and it's really difficult to see. I want to make it even harder but easier, is that if we read those big boring pieces as one piece, it gives us a bigger picture of how God deals with His people. If we focus just on the little laws and all the things and what you may do and may not do, then it becomes a little bit heavy to read. But if we say put it on a recording, we listen to it in our car or whatever, and we cover like 10 chapters at once, all of a sudden we see, this is what God was doing. We see the bigger picture. We don't get caught up in all of those details. And sometimes if we read parts from the Old Testament, especially the parts that we find a little dry, and we mix that with parts of the New Testament, that also helps us to get through it a little bit easier. Psalm 119 verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." And then in verse 72 it says, "The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." Many years ago, it was around about 2002, I think, somewhere around there. I used to travel between two cities to go to work. And I'd be in the car for an hour and a half one way, and I'd be in the car for about an hour going the other way, just because of the time that I worked. So for 2.5 hours every day, I'd be in the car. And I could listen to talk radio. It was pretty entertaining. It was quite funny. They'd phone in and people would say things, and I could do that for 2.5 hours a day. And by that evening, I would have no idea what I'd listen to. It'd also be of no benefit to me. There'd not be a whole lot of news. It would be mostly joking and so on, and it was pretty entertaining. And then I decided, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the Bible on audio, and it was tapes, and tapes were going out at that time anyway, so I got it for free, which was pretty cool. And during that time, over a two-month period, I listened to the whole Bible through from cover to cover. And then I did it again. Then I did it again. And the amazing thing is that when you do it like that, and you listen to it for 2.5 hours every single day, all of a sudden you get a bigger picture. You say, I can see how God operated. And then you see the value of all the stories in the Old Testament. You say, wow, that's how God worked. Here were His people, and they rebelled, and then there were consequences, and then they repented, and they came back to Him, and guess what? He was the dad on the porch with his arms open. He said, okay, come back. We're going to do this all over again. I'm going to forgive you. And we see the picture of grace, even in the dry stories. And so, if there's any truth that I know is that the Word of God is alive, that it is helpful no matter how old it is, whether it's the Old Testament, whether it's an historical account, or whether it's something about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It's all life, and it's all helpful for us, and it builds us up, and that's the foundation upon which we stand. Number two, spend time in His Word. Not someone else's interpretation of His Word, just His Word. Let that be a challenge for us. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that they don't read the Bible by itself. So they don't, because they read it with the Watchtower, because the Watchtower gives them interpretation for the Bible. And I remember many years ago, I worked with some people from the Jehovah's Witness group, and my emphasis from somebody who had come to Christ out of the group was that encourage them just to read the Bible. Even their translation, the New World Translation, it's a bit odd. There's some things that have changed, but there's enough truth in there that they can see the truth. Encourage them. Don't read the Watchtower, just read the Bible, and ask God to help you with that. And so I want to encourage us with that as well, is that sometimes we put aside the book that is helpful to us. We'll study books and so on. It's just sit down, read the Bible. Take a big chunky piece, 5 chapters at a time. Say, God, speak to me through your word. Number three, operate in immediate obedience. Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I think I covered that last week. And what did they do? They dropped their nets and they followed him. So when the word of God comes to us and we read it, and the Holy Spirit says, Brian, there's an area in your life where there's an issue. Don't say, well, you know, I'll deal with it in good time. When God speaks, say, okay, let me deal with it right now. And that's always my faith for a meeting like this, is that there's less prayer afterwards and there's more action even during. Is that as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is convicting and the Word of God is coming to you and you say, you're making a decision right there. And Bob's saying, I hear what Brian said, and I remember reading that, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's convicting me in that area. That's it. When I leave this building, it's not going to be the same again. That I believe is the power of God's word. That I believe is the power of the Holy Spirit taking truth of His word through somebody else, however it might come, and actually having a change in our lives. Submit to His word. Obey it. Move into liberty. Let's do what He said. So just to recap again, is that our ultimate authority in our life would be the word of God. It does not change. Jesus said that if you listen to these words and you obey it, if you implement that word, that you'll be standing on a rock, and no matter what comes against us, we will not fall. It's a huge subject, and I couldn't complete it entirely this morning. But let me encourage you, is that no matter what the circumstances, no matter where we are, the word of God is truth. When you have some decisions to be made, go back to the word of God. If you can't find it specifically in the word of God, then call around some brothers and sisters in Christ and say, won't you help me? Maybe they've read something. Maybe they can help you along that route. But that's why God puts us in community. And in the circumstances we are, give them a call. Phone them up and say, won't you pray with me? It's amazing that our prayers even carry across phone lines. Eh? It actually does work. So that's what I wanted to share this morning. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. We thank you, Lord God, that does not change. Lord, that is so comforting for us, is that in the world where everything seems to change almost daily, Lord, your truth remains. And Lord, we don't want to become worshippers of the word. We want to become readers of the word who obey the word, live by the word, implement it in our lives. Lord, help us to eat it and swallow it and digest it and let it become part of who we are. So Lord, when you by your Holy Spirit speak to us, Lord God, that you'd remind us of those things that have become embedded in our lives, that we can live by truth. Not by law, but by truth, because it has encompassed who we are. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. Lord, I pray for each and every person, each and every family represented here, and those that are watching online. I pray, Lord God, your blessing on them. I pray your protection on them, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that as we move forward in these unknown times, and times that aren't sure, Lord, let us continue just to press into you, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.